Today on the Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
It's Thursday at 11:35 and a special edition of Tech Talk brought to you by our good friends at Hamilton Limousine. Adam Oldfield, the president and CEO of FPM and FPM3 Marketing, is here. Did the boys at Hamilton Limousine drop you off again today?
No, not today. I mean, it's 18 degrees outside. I was going to walk, actually. I thought about walking to the studio. I enjoy Fridays. I mean, it gets me out of the office. Everyone asking me questions. You know, clients calling me going, hey, what about? And I'm like, I'm going to be busy, but you can hear me for the next half an hour on 900 CHML. I was going to actually walk here. And I got outside. It was like, oh, man, you know, and I was a little late. So, no, I actually drove myself today.
Unusual.
It is, but it's a long weekend. So, you know, this weekend, it's sort of Michelle and I are hopefully going to hang on to that warm weather as much as we can and do a little bit of the outdoor cleaning. So we were just talking about what we're, you know, yeah, vehicles we use and everything. And, you know, I always use hers, the SUV, and to kind of lug things in. And we're, you know, all the garbage you sweep and you're cleaning all the stuff that just gets accumulated in the winter. So anyway, that's going to be my goal. So today was sort of get settled, get kind of the car to pack up everything I need, and then this weekend we're going to be spending some time kind of doing some spring cleaning.
Yeah, I think that's on everybody's agenda for the next little while. All right, let's get right to this. What's going on with the Samsung Galaxy?
Well, the Samsung Galaxy, we know
it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Oh, do we have symbols around?
No.
All right, I'll do it for you. So, yeah, Samsung Fold, we talk about all this innovation, all the amazing technology. It folds, it slices, it dices, it's faster, it's quicker, and now all of a sudden it cracks. And it's not exactly up to the quality of a $2,000 phone you would expect to be. They launched it just this past week. It came out on April this past week. And so what happened, though, was that sold out in one day. The pre-order, gone, sold. Obviously, those that received it early, over a third of them are cracking. Now,
let's remind people, this is the same company that had the exploding phones a year or so ago.
It exploded, so we resolved that at the Note 7 stage, and we're now moving on to Note 10. Now we're at the cracking stage. Now, this is really, in my opinion, it's embarrassing for Samsung, because we've got Huawei coming out with the folding phone. We got names from China, I don't even know who they are, coming out with folding phones. We hear Apple's coming out with it. Yeah. Samsung's got one chance to really make this work, and for the price they're going to be billing out at this makes it extremely, in my opinion, struggling for Samsung, because they're known for their televisions. They're known for their appliances.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a quality of a visual. It's nothing to do with the phone. We know the battery isn't going to explode. We know that the speeds and the features within it are going to work. But the fact that you're buying a phone for $2,000 and the principle of it is pretty amazing. I think the idea behind it is that it's just not ready, in my opinion, for us to take it on mainstream. So anyone buying it, it's going to be one of those. Look at the great. It's like the iPhone. Remember the first iPhone that came out?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't even put a calendar appointment in it. You could look at the calendar appointment, but you couldn't include someone, invite people to a calendar appointment. I know. I had the first generation iPhone. I got it within a matter of 2 weeks of it coming out. And I can say it was probably the most amazing, slowest, expensive phone I ever had in my life. So hang on. Don't go too quick on buying the folding phones anytime soon.
There you go. A little customer satisfaction problem with Samsung again, but I'm sure they'll get it
worked
out.
They'll figure it out.
We've talked about security all the time.
Yeah.
And because I think a lot of the time we take it for granted and understand that, look, as soon as you give somebody information, you're exposing yourself. And this study that you've uncovered here from hotels,
yes,
it's pretty troubling.
Well, Symantec, which is one of those antivirus software, they do obviously testings in systems, and because their systems are cloud-based, there was 1,500 hotel websites that were being surveyed in 54 countries around the world. Two out of three bookings in hotels that were booked are releasing our information. What information? Phone number, email, credit card details, but the last four digits. You know how you see XXX? There's always four digits of a credit card. Including the passport numbers or information, if you have to provide it, depending on what country you're in, inclusive of even expiry date. So people are getting the last four digits of a credit card number, and they're getting the expiry. Sometimes that's all you really need to be able to take this. So two out of three, that's out of 1,500 hotels across the world are you know, again, releasing this information. How? The biggest question is, how is this happening? Are they losing it? Is it a mistake? Is it a, you know, are they not secure? No, the issue is that a lot of these hotels and many businesses, Bill, we use a lot of third-party software within our system. So as much as you come in and go, hello, welcome to our hotel, can I get your information, please? Well, the system they're plugging you in has probably multiple purposes, an invoicing, a financial. You may have different software that helps with your sales cycle. All these systems, each one may have, unfortunately, the ability to put it up in the cloud, and this is where our information is being released. Now, how do we get a grip of this? Well, really, there's nothing you can do because the hotel needs the information. Yeah. You're required to provide it if you want to use their service. But just to be clear, our information is leaking, not even with hacking. No one's hacking anything. This is just literally being shared to third-party systems that have the ability to be able to get this detail about ourselves when we book a hotel.
It's just it's along the same guise of identity theft and everything else. It's out there, and if people want to access it, it's there for them.
I think when you're releasing it, we always assume there's a guy in a hoodie sitting in a basement eating pizza going, I'm going to hack this hotel. And you know, at the end of the day, they're not. It's just people are naturally getting this information. That information's accessible on all sorts of platforms, and it's the fact of the cloud-based system is allowing a lot of our services or content to be shared amongst multiple platforms across 54 countries, apparently.
Which brings us to Facebook. I mean, if we're going to talk about this sort of thing going on, now Facebook always has to be part of the conversation.
You know what? Facebook's always going to be part of the conversation, and they've got some issues. Right now, I can tell you, I like to follow on two fronts, the tech side, and I also follow a lot of the business side. And I can say right now, there is a big call on the board within Facebook that they're trying to get the chairman of the board, Mark Zuckerberg, to step down as the leader of this organization. Because right now, Facebook has one point. This is just on top of, this isn't like, hey, wait a minute, did they say that already? This is not a Tech Talk repeat. This is a official 1.5 million users. It was reported by the Business Insider. We're having their information, their emails, and their passwords from those that were signing up in the last week were being available, and it wasn't encrypted. It was shared across multiple networks. 1.5 million. Now, we look at that and go, wow, that's a lot. To Facebook, that's a day of people signing up for an account. Well, they forgot to put a security feature on it, and unfortunately, everyone's passwords and emails were naturally being shared onto the internet. So Facebook's in a bit of a heat, and this is just last week. That's right, 1.5 million. That's pretty low compared to what we've heard in the past. I mean, 300 millions, 1.3 billions. I mean, that's 0.3% of what Facebook normally deals with. But yes, that's right. If you signed up in the last week, I highly encourage you, go and change your password because it was leaked out.
Which you should be doing anyway.
That's right. Why are you signing up for Facebook anyways? I mean,
Doing that these days? Jeez. What's going on with Spotify?
Spotify, we know, is definitely a leader when it comes to streaming music. And when something's successful, that means there's others that are interested. And Apple is climbing at 60 million users. But the one that I thought was quite intriguing right now is Amazon offers music streaming, a very basic service with your Prime membership, and it's $9.99 a month. Well, currently Spotify has 100 million paying customers and 115 million are using the free version. This competition coming up with Amazon is that they're about to provide, not, you don't even need a Prime membership, you're going to be able to get this with Amazon, the streaming service, absolutely free. They're going to go head to head against Spotify. So now you'll have two options, not the whole music database, you'll get a series of music access, but you'll be able to get it from Amazon at no charge. So originally you needed a Prime membership, you don't need one coming forth. But the one thing I thought was intriguing when I was doing my research on this, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting, is YouTube. And we know YouTube came out with a premium service that was, pay for your $14.99 and you'll be able to get yourself an access through YouTube. They're controlling 47% of the music streaming online.
Wow.
I mean, like, I'm hearing Apple's and Amazon's and Spotify's and all of these features, but 47% of our music streaming is done by YouTube. So I thought that was really intriguing when it comes to, like, why are they not being spoken about? Because really, 53% is a lot. It's a majority. But 47% is by one company. One company, that's Google. Google is YouTube. And basically, when you're listening to music on YouTube, you are definitely one of the crowd. And we're not talking enough about it. So I think everybody needs to watch out for the mighty Goliath of Google. Otherwise, they may not be in business too much longer.
Speaking of Google, Google Assistant coming to a car near you.
Well, we got Google Home, and we've got Google Assistant in our phones. Why not plug it right into the car? You can now buy a plug-in. Yes, it's like a little car adapter in your cigarette lighter. Do we even call them that anymore, Bill? Cigarette lighters? I mean, like...
I got corrected on that just the other day by our son, because I said, just plug it in. And I said that. And he says, no, it's called... I forget what he said it was called.
Maybe electric adapter or something?
Whatever it is. Yes, it's like a charger anyway. It's what everybody uses it for.
I'm stuck in that 80s version of, you know,
60s.
Cigarette lighter. Anyway, for the purpose of this conversation, your cigarette lighter electrical plug is where you would put in your new Google Car Assistant. And say this is great for those that have an older model that haven't upgraded, or say a 2015 and younger, which is quite old. You can now buy this adapter, and if you love your Google that much, you can have it listening to your voice and comments and features all over the place, including your vehicle. What I find interesting is that if you've got a phone, you've got the ability to use Google Assistant. You just have to, like, connect it to your speakers. So I haven't figured out what is the real selling feature of this, other than I've got this little device that looks like a Google Home that plugs into my cigarette lighter, and it has lights on it, and when I say it, it responds to, okay, Google, and off it goes. So anyway, shy of that, if you need your Google to go in your car, there's an adapter for it.
All right, let's talk about, you were talking about Facebook just a couple of minutes ago. They've come up with something new. This is going to be a cousin for Alexa and Siri?
Well, I mean, honestly, we were joking about, like, there's Alexa, there's Siri, there's Google Assistant, there's Bixby. Why not add one more? And Facebook has finally decided they're doing a lot of changes. They're bringing Facebook Messenger back into Facebook, the application, so you don't have two programs anymore. And they're going to create the voice automated assistant that you can which, by the way, they reference as the Facebook expertise, is going to now have its own voice assistant. So if you haven't had enough. And by the way, the new term for that one is going to be Hey Portal. And now that little version of Facebook will start to ask you, how can I help you? So yes, we will now have five options available to talk to and help us coordinate our day under Facebook's new system.
Getting pretty crowded at home now. All those voices.
Everyone's fighting for my attention. Yes.
I know. I hear voices. Well, who doesn't these days? Yeah. What's going on with Apple?
Apple's got a new version of Tile. I don't know if you heard of Tile before. It came out many years ago, probably about 6 years ago. And it's like a little, think of it as a clip. And that clip can go on your set of keys. You can put it on your purse, your handbag. So if you're a forgetful person, Michelle, then you will be able to basically put this on a device, and you can sync it with your phone, and you can now track it. It puts out a sound. It whistles, and it will tell you on your phone where in the world your keys are possibly located. Well, Apple wants to join that list of, hey, we'll help you find your devices. So Apple's going to be launching their own version of, I'll call it Tile. It's like a little clip, electronic clip. It synchronizes with your iPhone, your iMac, your iPad, your Siri, your phone, your car, and it will now tell you, hey, you forgot your keys, or hey, you left your purse over here, and here's where to find it.
We've all had discussions about Uber and the competitions. There's one in Chicago called Car2Go, and I guess it's not going too well there.
Well, this one's pretty... this is like a car-sharing program. You heard about these before, where they have these programs in play where you can sign up, and you can, instead of owning a vehicle, you know, you can now use this app, and, you know, you get to register a car, like, say you need it for a weekend or otherwise. Anyway, in Chicago, it's pretty big in the States. It's called Car2Go. They haven't worked out a little bit of a caveat, and that is, well... car thieves have figured out how to, A, track where the cars are that you can access, number one. Number two, they've been stealing these cars, and they've been using them. It's almost like, what was that movie with Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie? What was it was a classic where they stole all the cars.
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Gone in 60 Seconds. Yeah. It made me laugh because I'm like, this is like Gone in 60 Seconds, but the upgraded app version of it. So they were using these apps, a crew of kids, and they were finding the cars, hacking in with username accounts, unlocking the car, and then they would take it to a garage. Well, they were going to chop it up except for one little feature that saved them, and that is Car2Go has a lot of tracking systems in it. It's not just one. So, you know, what they did was they isolated the one that they thought they were getting, and there was about six on every one of these Car2Go. So the police were able to apprehend the gone in 60 second version of today's thieves. But yeah, this is something to keep in mind. These car sharing programs are a lot easier to steal cars now.
Listen, for people that are getting a little bit nervous about autonomous vehicles, Cadillac is sort of like an in-between, isn't it?
It is. Cadillac is one of Cadillac's a favorite. Hamilton Limo uses Cadillacs, and I love them. I had an CTS back when the Matrix first came out. I love that car. Anyway, Cadillac.
My wife used to drive one. I loved it.
It was amazing. It was really futuristic for its time. I mean, we had a little bit of a downfall during the 2010 side, but anyway, Cadillac's coming up with their new upgraded features. This is specific to Canada. And why I felt this was very prominent is that Cadillac has now the ability, it's kind of like a super cruise. So it's cruise control with a little bit of, I'm going to say, on steroids. It's not the fully autonomous that we see with the Teslas and you know, the other cars that are being tested. But what it does is on certain highways, 407, 401, 403, QEW, in the southern Ontario, this GTA area, when you get a Cadillac with this semi-driving feature, it actually knows the road. It can take you right to the off-ramps. So think of it as almost self-driving, but once you get on the off-ramp, you have to take over the car or be available to take the car over again. It's almost like a road maps itself to give it that semi-autonomous full feeling. So that's going to be coming out next year. The Cadillac is going to be launched here in Ontario, and you'll be able to have these amazing on the QEW side of things where it keeps a perimeter around you, will drive you on and off ramps, and will be able to change lanes only on the highway right now.
Where are they making those? Do you know?
Oh, that I don't know that part. I'm
so available here. I just wonder if they do. I know it's not going to be Oshawa, apparently, but unfortunately.
Yeah, that might be a sour point. But yeah, I think what's really cool is the fact that it only works on certain highways right now. It's going to be in southern Ontario. So
the 400 series highways.
The 400 series, I do know that. The QEWs and the 407s for sure have been uploaded to this Cadillac that will be available in this area. So what's really neat is, I mean, what I liked about it is Marcus at Hamilton Limo will be able to get one and be able to put it on cruise control and literally just, you know, I can sit back and relax while the car is taking you automatically to the next exit you want to get off at.
Bizarre. Wonderful stuff. Anyway, listen, we usually do this Fridays at 11:35, but of course, a special Thursday edition this week, brought to you by Hamilton Limousine, where they use Cadillacs. Want to ride in a Cadillac? Call Marcus at Hamilton Limousine.
Right.
They'll set you up, right?
They'll take good care of you. Yeah,
have a great
weekend.
We'll see you next time.
Happy Easter.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.